Another great show brought to you through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And today you can tap into the source in which to live a wonderful new lifestyle of wealth and abundance that affects all areas of your life. Join Dr. Anne as she enriches us with her holistic wisdom on the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program. And here's Dr. Anne.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are on this beautiful planet. How are you, my beloved and be joyful ones? This is Dr. Anne, your Joy of Wealthy Living coach. Welcome to the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program here on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. How are you doing today since the last time we were together in this wonderful, beautiful place? Remember that the Joy of Wealthy Living is a radio program that looks at what it means to be living wealthy from a holistic approach. A holistic approach includes using the law of attraction in all areas of your life. That includes your career, your relationships, recreation and having fun, your health and wellness, but of course abundance and finances, and don't forget spirituality. I have a quote today from Fred Adler, and he says that happiness is a positive cash flow. Ask yourself this question, my beloved ones. If your cash flow was in the negative, would you allow this bandit to steal your joy or happiness? Oh, wow, that is a heavy-duty question, if I should say so myself. So if you would just sit back and relax and just get into the moment, get into this moment, take a deep breath and release it, and get settled into this beautiful and joyful space, whether you're at home or with someone, or whether you are driving along the byways and the highways of our wonderful country or your country, wherever you may be, listening to this program. Just remember this as we settle into this wonderful, lovely place that God's substance is all there is. This substance is manifesting in, as, and around us. We are a magnificent expression of spirit, and we know it always says yes to our desires. I, Dr. Anne, speak my word for you and myself, knowing that all that we need is given to us right here and right now. As we release old worn out condition, old worn out things, people, places, and things that are no longer a part of the divine plan of our lives, we are open to receive our inexhaustible supply of substance from spirit. It comes to us quickly under grace in perfect ways. All channels are free. All doors are open. All of our needs are being met in all areas of our lives. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of abundance forever. I gratefully release each and every one of these words into the light of the universe, knowing that nothing can or will hinder the outcome of the good that is ours right here and right now. I say, and so it is, and so it is. To me, that felt good. I don't know about you, but it felt so good to release that. And as I breathe in and let go, I want to say a little something funny here, and I saw this, and it's one of these aha moments when we want to say, you know those people that we look at and say, ooh, they have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money because they can pay everything with cash. But do you realize that they're missing one of life's greatest thrills? Do you know what that is? Making the last car payment. Ha ha. Okay. All right. So you smile. So you chuckled a little bit. Good. Very good. Just want to let you know that in April, on April the 12th, I'm having a teleseminar that is called A to the 7th Power of Wealthy Living. And on the 12th, it's going to be at 1 p.m. Pacific time. And for those folks who are in Eastern time, that's maybe 3 hours ahead of me. And that would be like 4 p.m. Your time. In this teleseminar, we will go over the 7 powers or principles of living wealthy. This will be a very exciting and informative teleseminar, and I hope that you will be able to join me in that seminar. More information about that seminar on my website. My website is www.myjoyenterprise.com. Again, www.myjoyenterprise.com. And you can always get in touch with me via email, Dr. Ann at, and that's DRANN, at myjoyenterprise.com. Also, reminder that you can place an order for a book that I'm co-authoring with Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Les Brown. No, it's just not the four of us. There are several other authors in this collaborative effort. And all for $19, you'll get the book, a free coaching session with me, and an e-book on leadership. So just go to my website again, www.myjoyenterprise.com. Today, we are having a repeat guest from last week. If you were here with us last week, you know that we had a very exciting program with coffee and human design. So we will connect with coffee in about 30 seconds after we do a station identification.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Okay, we have our special guest, Coffee. Hello, Coffee.
Hello, Dr. Ann. Hello, everyone. I'm so grateful to be back.
I am so grateful that you are back, too. Oh, this is going to be exciting. You know, I just love you. I just love, 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 love you. I just wanted to let everybody know that I love this person. Really, I do. And I just love the information that she is giving to us about human design. So just in case there are a few people here that did not have the opportunity to listen to you last week, Coffee, could you please tell them just a tad bit about you?
Oh, me? I was going to tell them about human design, yes.
Just a little bit about you.
Okay. I've been doing studies and research for many years, and I got involved in a very mysterious way with the system of human design, but that's how life does it sometimes. It just brings a great mystery, and we have to go further with it and investigate. And
okay.
This is a large part of what I do. I'm also an artist and writer. So mostly, at this point, I'm doing artwork and human design.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you wanted to tell everybody about what human design. Could you give us a brief description of what human design is all about?
Yes, I'd love to.
I don't know if you could do. I don't know if that could be done briefly, but
I'm wondering if I can do anything briefly, but I will try for the sake of the people who didn't hear it last week.
Okay.
Human design is a system that helps us understand ourselves, how we handle life, and how we make mistakes, and therefore how not to make mistakes. And it's available as a charted system, so you can take it home once someone's interpreted it for you, look at it, get a grip on it, understand it, and practice finding your right, what we call response, your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So in human design, there are five basic human types. Manifestor, manifesting generator, generator, projector, and reflector. The first three are energy types, and the reflector and projector are considered non-energy types. That doesn't mean they have no energy. It means
mm-hmm.
they just don't charge around all day, right? They tend to do other
yes.
kinds of creative things.
Yes.
And, okay, so knowing your type, understanding your design, understanding that the design gives you a basic pattern for you to follow through life that keeps you on the right path and will show the not-self, the person you're not supposed to be, that society, negative force, and even positive force that loves you very dearly can try to make you become, like the father who wants his child to be a doctor and the child wants to be the President of the United States, okay?
Right,
so the father
right.
would say, no politics, no politics, go for being a doctor. And if the child followed that, eventually they'd be miserable, okay?
Right.
So human design helps show families not to make those kind of mistakes. It helps people in families understand each other and get along much better than ever before. It has some amazing results when you have your chart done. And
mm-hmm.
it teaches you, best of all, the thing I like best of all, is to make the correct decision for you that harms no one else. It's very simple. Okay? Does that help
that,
for the beginning?
That helps for the beginning. But you know what? A strange question popped into my head right now, so that's
mm-hmm.
nothing unusual. But
I love your questions, Dr. Ann. Okay.
Thank you. The question is, you know, when you were talking about the father who wants the son to be the President of the United States or
the doctor,
some
other,
yeah, or the doctor, the lawyer, the whoever, the whatever. If a person or persons who were really in tune and into human design and they were planning on having a family, the wife gets pregnant. She has the baby. She knows the date. She knows the time. She knows where she has given birth to this child.
Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense or would it be reasonable, you know, for the parents to chart the child from day one?
It will help the parents if they know. It can be helpful once you understand human design to know. For example, this is a generator child. Okay, they're going to zoom around. They're going to go, right? And they may wear mm-hmm. you out. They'll go so fast. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it
mm-hmm.
helps. It helps them not get frustrated with the child so easily because they understand this one's a generator. Our mm-hmm. other child is a projector. They're going to behave completely differently in the same circumstances. And it's natural for them. It helps the parents go, this one doesn't have to be a football star, and this one isn't doing something wrong when they want to be alone and read a book for a couple of hours. They're just happy, and they don't have to go play football, or they don't have to stop playing football, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It helps
them right.
really understand where the energies are and where the drive is in their child. And treat them fairly, therefore respond fairly.
Good. So therefore, I could, you know that my background is education. So
yes,
therefore,
I do.
Therefore, I can see this being a useful tool for teachers if they are into this. You know, I could see schools, non-traditional schools, being based upon this.
Yes.
And you know, all kinds of things. I could see all kinds of possibilities with this, as you call it, strategy or system. It's a system
mm-hmm.
that could
mm-hmm.
be utilized to help understand our children a little bit more. And therefore, when we make up our lesson plans, we can mm-hmm. be more accurate in, as they would say, our individual learning plans for our children. Some of the children, as you said, if they're going to be very active, maybe this is a way so that a lot of our children are not given a lot of drugs.
Yes, actually, if we recognize, and this has been one of my dreams, to somehow find a school willing to test this pattern on their students,
mm-hmm.
and to get, you'd have to get a private school, a school based on this, which many human design people are interested in getting going now. And what we found when we do it with children, have parents involved in this,
mm-hmm.
is that if we know it's a generator, that child is going to have high energy and need lots of exercise and things and learn
mm-hmm.
best hands-on. Let me touch it. Let me jump over it. Let me see how big it is, how heavy it
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
They need a lot of that and should have it. There may be the children that are put on drugs in school, and there's nothing
right.
wrong with them in terms of human design. They're perfectly functioning. They're following exactly who and what they're supposed to be. Others are very quiet, withdrawn, and we push them socially, go out, talk to everyone. They're going, oh, do I have to? Could I just read my book during recess? That would be projectors or reflectors, but most of all reflectors who would want to do their own thing, and they're very happy not interacting with too many people. And the projector wants attention from others, but they'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
Often not. They won't usually be the football player. They won't usually take that route. Or the cheerleader, they'll do something creative or intellectual that gets them a big draw of attention from their friends.
Okay.
And the manifester will just go and do. And when the teacher knows, I have a manifester in my classroom,
mm-hmm.
they handle them differently. They ask them, they put them out and say, will you go and do? And then they go, oh, yeah, I'd love to, sure.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
don't feel frustrated. They will show tremendous leadership if they're allowed to.
Right.
So you
right.
have hit the nail on the head, Dr. Ann. You have just guessed one of the biggest desires of people who really know and have studied human design for 20 years or so. We would love to have it used and tested by some teachers in the actual classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can just imagine and can foresee that with more people given the knowledge, you know,
mm-hmm.
and being open to this particular knowledge, then there could be a tremendous change, a shift in paradigm, a shift
yes.
in the teaching of our children. You know, all is not lost. All is not forsaken. We always downplay our school systems because our children are not succeeding in a way that the old paradigm was. Our children are a little bit different than they were 10 years ago, definitely different than 20 or 30, 40 years. Well, how about when I went to school? Our students are not quite like when I was a student at their age. So something like this may help to make changes, positive changes within our school system, positive changes within our family structure.
Yes.
How we get along with one another within the family. We talk about the breakdown of the family because of one thing or the other, but I think if we knew each other on this particular level, then I think the breakdown of the family will not break down any longer. I think it will be more cohesive, and we will see a trend in not broken homes, but homes that stay together longer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in this system, when now we've had about 25 years of really working with it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we found that it's easiest for generators to marry generators, okay?
Oh.
We're not saying you have to go find one if you are one.
Well, I was just about to say, do we have, like, dating clubs?
You're right there, yes. In a kind of small way, small scale, yes, we do have dating clubs. And it would be fun to have a real serious open-to-the-public dating club, not just people who have a big background in human design. It would be wonderful.
Wow.
And maybe we can, Dr. Ann, maybe we can do a local meetup group or two and see how that goes.
Oh, wow.
Right?
That would be very interesting.
Right? And we'll only connect you with people with your type, the type that you are. And that really helps. A generator would only introduce to generators, right? Emotional,
mm-hmm.
we'd introduce to emotional. And
mm-hmm.
Splenic, non-emotional, we'd introduce to splenic people. It could be wonderful fun, and people could find the right partners much easier.
Wow.
And also within human design, we have an interesting breakdown. It's
mm-hmm.
called the individual group, the knowing circuit. The individual's keynote is empowerment, okay? And they're very intense. They have channels that would integrate awakening, right? I mean, I am now. That's how they talk. I am this now.
Mm-hmm.
I am that
mm-hmm.
now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
much in the now. Powerful people. Then
and
there's the collective.
What people are that?
The types. We'll find that some individuals. So we have five major types.
Okay.
And then within that, we have three major subdivisions, and anyone can have all of these circuits. And most people have a dominance of one of these circuits. We're calling it the individual circuit group, the collective circuit group, and
yes.
the tribal circuit group, okay?
Okay.
So when we have anyone with a lot of individual circuits, they're
mm-hmm.
knowing, they're centering,
mm-hmm.
and they're empowerment. And they empower others, too, not just themselves. They're very good at empowering people, protecting
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what they're type is, they tend to work a lot in those fields if they're on the right path where they're empowering. Okay? Now, the collective group is the sensing circuit, and their master keynote is sharing. So these are the people I want to share this information, and like you're doing right now, there's some collective energy in your patterns. Well, you wouldn't want to get on the radio and share all this wonderful knowledge with people. It wouldn't occur to you to do that, okay? So we know that.
So would that actually show up on my chart or something?
Yes, it shows very clearly in the charts. Yes, it would show on your chart.
Okay.
Dr. Ann has collective circuitry. Now, there's a tribal circuitry group, and this is the defense circuitry. right? Mm-hmm. Now, we find a lot of tribal circuitry people in the military. They're going to defend the country, and you better not mess with them, right? They're going to do these things, and their master keynote is to support the whole tribe. They want to make sure their country, which they is their tribe, their city. You see it a lot in competitive sports in high school and junior high.
Yes.
The tribal kids are like, we support our team. And the others go, okay, right? That's good. And an active tribal.
Mm-hmm. Would that also include some of our young men who belong to gangs or
Yes. Gang membership is very tribal. Okay, they've got tribal circuits, and they, but the gang's purpose is support. So if we want to work with people in gangs who have tribal circuitry, they can come out and become major leaders in supporting the entire community in ways that are hardly dreamt of at this point in time.
And we have seen that in years gone by where so-called I would say a negative connotation associated with some type of neighborhood group that and that individual that formed that group did come out to be more positive than negative in the neighborhood. And
very much so. And when we look at an individual's chart, we take one person and we say, gee, he's about 40% tribal, and but has several individual circuits. Okay, will make a good leader. Then we can help guide that person toward right career, right studies. So many things. Knowing that, knowing where they'll function best in the areas, and then say we get one that's tribal and collective. They're really taking their support and their knowledge and wanting to share it with the entire world. They want to make sure everyone around them benefits, okay? So they're quite willing to share all information. They're often teachers, okay? People who want to share, okay? And the individual is, they want to empower themselves and be the person they want to be. But they also want others to have the right to be who they want to be.
Right.
So when
can I just cut in just a minute just to ask my listening audience if there's anybody out there who has a burning question to ask Coffee, you may call in on our guest line at 646-716-6230. And for those people who are shy and you're online, if you just want to drop into the chat room and just write down your question, it's right there available for you. Okay, so this has been an interesting conversation about the subgroups within the groups. That is, you know, and when you were talking about the tribal and the leadership strands and things like that, my mind automatically went to the prisons. Mm-hmm. And with the prisons, I'm thinking that some of the things that occur or could be more preventive of having people incarcerated if they knew this knowledge.
Yes. Many people who don't know their design actually go out, make the mistakes that if they knew their design, they'd never make.
Yes.
Okay. And wind up in prison situations because they're following their circuitry, but they're not knowing how to use it correctly for them.
Right.
And they wind up in prison, they wind up incarcerated, a lot of trouble, a lot of up and down in their life, and you see them roller coastering up and down. Where once, and it's happened, someone says, let me do your human design for you, instead of worrying about the fact that you're taking drugs, let's see what's going on with you as a person. And there have been amazing results in people saying, oh, and finding out which way to make decisions is very important. Mm-hmm. How do I make decisions? And each type of the five types makes decisions, has to make decisions differently. They can't make decisions usually the way mom or dad did. They have to know what's their method. And we talked about that last week.
So would you share that again?
Sure.
For making decisions based upon your type.
Yes. We'll start with manifestors, about 8% of the population. A manifestor child usually goes and does something. They get in a lot of trouble. They get punished heavily in our society. They go and do something, and then they come in the yard, and they say, hey, Mom, I just rode around the block on my new bike. Well, Mom didn't know they were gone. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
They are, I do in the now, in the moment. I just make up my mind and go and do. So manifestor
yes.
children have to be taught to inform and say, hey, Mom, I'm going to ride around the block. You want to make sure I get back and everything is safe? You want to go with me? Once
yes.
the manifestor child learns to inform, all is well. The manifesting generator, who is just like a manifestor at one level, they want to run out and do and not bother to tell anybody. Life is so exciting, they have to go do it,
mm-hmm.
try it out. But they also have to wait to respond. They have to get their yeah, this is right for me to do. So here's what they'll do. They'll jump up, they'll go, yes, I'm going to ride around the block. They'll head for the door, and they'll get out the door, they'll see their bike, and they'll go, wait a minute, what am I supposed to be doing? I can't do this without telling someone in the family. They get in less trouble because they remember to slow it down and go tell Mom and Dad what they need to know and what they need to share with them. Okay?
Right.
So that helps. They'll tell their teacher, hey, I'm not skipping school. I'm going to be out here bringing in my science project, right?
Right.
The generator, his strategy is to respond, to go. You walk up to a generator and say, do you want to go to that movie? Now, socially, they've been trained not to answer honestly. I'm sorry, but it's a fact in our society.
Uh-huh,
you're supposed to be very polite and say yes, but you'll hear a generator go, uh-uh, right? It just comes
right,
out of them.
Right.
That's a healthy generator. They should listen to themselves, go, uh-uh, and go, oh, no, thank you, not now, maybe some other time, right? And they go, uh-huh, when they really want to do something. Their whole body lights up, they move forward, and you're hearing, uh-huh. In different cultures, it's a slightly different sound. In Japan, you go, ah, you hear this little, oh, no, back away sigh, or, ah, yeah, and that means, yeah, that's a generator responding. So cultures teach us slightly different sounds to make, but they all make sounds if they're generators.
Okay.
The poor projector.
The poor projector?
Well, I'm going to call it a poor projector because their strategy, and they just hate to do it, is to wait to be invited. And they're going, I don't really have to wait to be in. How do I know an invitation when I see it? You know? So that's harder than any of the others we've listed so far. So here's this projector going, dang, nothing's coming along. Who's going to pay attention? Who's going to ask me to do something? When they wait for that invitation, and it's a good invitation, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to dinner in the new Thai restaurant? That's an invitation. I can respond. Yes.
Yes.
I want to go.
Yes.
And if they miss and they don't wait for the invitation and they say, I'm going with you to the Thai restaurant, okay, they didn't hear an invitation, they just hoped it was, then things go wrong at the restaurant, things go wrong in the whole journey for them, and they come home very bitter, right?
Mm.
And the bitterness is a result of not waiting for the right invitation. Okay, so that's why I said it's a little rougher. Projectors have more to play with in learning how to get through life, all right?
Mm.
And then the reflector, thank goodness there's only 1% of the population or two that happens to be this, they just go, check back in, if it's a big decision, not a little one, do you want to go to Europe for a year? naturally everyone would say yes. A reflector has to say, come back in a month. I'll have a correct decision in a month. And they really have to say it. They have a 29, 28 and a half, 29 day cycle before they know the right answer to big decisions. Do you want to go to Harvard? Do you want to go to Stanford? They can't answer. Give me 28 days, I'll tell you. And they must do that or they make bad decisions.
Yes.
So that's one of the things we teach people, how to use the right strategy for what you're going to do. Know your type, know your strategy.
Yes.
Okay, and the amazing thing, if I can add this here,
sure
is that we found it takes a person, say 2 weeks ago I did your design, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You would begin to work that design. You would begin to learn your type and your strategy, how to know if it's right or wrong for you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It would take about 7 years once you've been conditioned improperly, which we all have. If we're adults now, this system came along since we were adults or as we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the advantage of it. It would take us 7 years usually to become proficient at using our design and really progressing in life because we're following our design.
Wow.
And children who start with parents who get it by 2 or 3 years old, but especially since birth, they follow their design their whole life, and they're amazing children. All children start out amazing children, but we dampen them down a little, and these children are creative, are doing their own shows and programs and cute little things on the internet that are amazing when they're very young, and they're doing very professional, beautiful jobs of it, right? You'll see it all the time.
Right.
Those are children usually who know their design a lot of times, or are acting out, have such parents that are so centered that they're actually allowing them just to be who they were born,
mm-hmm.
and they live out their design without interference.
You know, This is a great paradigm. So are there people who are setting up assessments that will be geared to children?
Yes.
Have they done that, or are they in the process of doing this?
There are around the world, there are several groups that are working with human design and children. And if you'd like, I can get you in touch with them.
Oh, great.
We can do that. Okay.
We can do that. And have any of them decided to do the school or try to get this in? I know you mentioned
earlier. It's a project
earlier.
In motion, and they're mm-hmm. doing some human design school systems, but
mm-hmm.
not large enough, not as large as anyone wants it to be, not to the benefit of most people at all yet, but they are doing it. And that's why I said I'll get you in touch with them. You may enjoy working with them. It could be fascinating for you.
Mm-hmm.
And could help your classrooms too, because they'll share a lot of information with you.
Oh, okay.
Most people who know this really have received so much benefit from it, they really want the benefit to go to others. They want other people to know and to raise their children, not the way anyone tells them, just the way it works for the child. There's no great profound system of you have to act like this. We're
mm-hmm.
saying, no, we have to allow people to act in several different ways, to make decisions and to learn in several different ways.
Right.
We can't say one way is right for all people. So
that's
what I think you would love about it.
Well, that's a wonderful idea and a concept that should not go unnoticed. I think it's almost like working with gifted individuals. You know, I work with gifted children, and this, what you're talking about, can probably see the rate of giftedness in our children, gifted and talents in our children rise, because, you know, all children possess certain talents. All children possess certain gifts. But those who are extremely on the one end of the spectrum that is close to genius, those children in that area, they tend to be forgotten because they think, oh, well, they're smart. Oh, they're bright. Oh, they can handle this. So a lot
right.
of the attention is given to all of the children who are at risk. And
right.
and because we feel that, well, or some of us feel that, well, you know, they just have an incapability of learning or something like that. But with this system, I think the playing field will be even out a little bit more for all children. So
all
that
children,
can,
yes.
Yes, have the capability of learning.
And to discover their individual gifts and their most perfect area to contribute.
Yes.
And with no compulsion to contribute, but when we're natural, healthy people, we want
yes.
to contribute and share. It's very natural for every one of the types to want to share and want to create better. So
yes, yes.
And gifted
most
children
definitely.
Really need it because they're always a small group within, you know, the norm, and they
mm-hmm.
feel like, what am I doing here? And often they have parents who are upset with them because they aren't more like the average child. They don't understand their own child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So they're often under tremendous pressure.
And, you know, and I always tie this back to what this whole program, the concept of wealthy living. Wealthy living, if you're starting with our children from crib, from the womb
mm-hmm.
to they get, you know, to womb to whatever, to the rocking chair.
mm-hmm.
Wealthy living, it they will be able to get in touch with who they are, and they can follow the path. They can follow, create, be more creative in designing a career that would generate money or finances that will help support them throughout life. They
mm-hmm.
will, you know, I'm looking at it from a holistic point because if you know, we talked about the drugs. If you're hyper, does that necessarily mean that you're ADD and you don't have to have all of the drugs? So therefore, the limitation or the elimination of drugs from one system, and you're not dependent on these things
mm-hmm.
that is going to change organically the cells in your body. So it makes for a more healthier and a more wealthier life.
Right.
But this is just one system. And, you know, we just want to let people know that this is not the end all, the be all, but this is one system that we
can use. One part of information that may really help us all
mm-hmm.
become aware of who we are, who the people we love are, and
yes.
who our students are, who our employer is. It can really help
yes.
in work situations.
Yes.
And it may, if we really understand the types of strategies, we may be able to remove the idea that all children have to sit still. You know, only in the last few hundred years in human history have massive numbers of children gone into classrooms and held still.
Right.
You learned from doing prior to that. You had a lot of hands-on activity. You
right.
churned the butter. You hunted the buffalo. You did things, right? You
mm-hmm.
knew what was going on. You helped
yeah.
make the arrowheads. You helped build the first machines. Dad said, here, hold these and help us, right? We're building a thrashing machine. So they did.
Right.
They learned a lot by activity, seeing, touching, tasting, smelling, doing, right? It wasn't just you be quiet and we'll tell you what reality is. That is very
yes.
new, and it seems to cause us to believe we need to put lots of children on drugs, and lots of people, adults who go to work, are on drugs.
Yes.
Because
yes.
we may be ultimately shifting our society in some beneficial ways for people, so their natural abilities work better for the whole society and don't have
right.
to be suppressed so heavily.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coffee, I think we have a listener who would like to ask a question. Okay. It's 0526. 0526, are you there?
Yes, this is Vance in Vancouver.
Hi, Vance in Vancouver. Like in Canada, Vancouver?
No, the Washington.
Oh, the Vancouver. Washington side. That's okay, too.
Great. Hey, I'm glad it's okay. Coffee, I have a question for you and about this human design.
Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
I work for a highly sensitive trucking company, and we haul highly sensitive equipment that demands two drivers be on board the truck all the time.
Yes.
Sometimes these two drivers are required to work 3 to 7 weeks in a row out there driving on these semis on the road full of high-end explosives and stuff like that. And the company has a lot of trouble in figuring out who should be whose partner.
Mm-hmm.
Could that system of figuring out what type of a person each individual is, would that help in making a more fluid team out of people rather than the constant antagonism and one trying to be in control of the other and
mm-hmm.
on and on?
The short answer, and then I'll get the long. Those of us who have studied human design are certain it would help. Because we can recommend, by looking at the charts, there's so much information available to us that we can say, this person would work beautifully with this one. Please don't put these two together. And and we can really do that quite easily. You do a little research on each chart. You really look, pay attention. But you would tend to put generators with generators. Manifestors in charge or working alone so that they're troubleshooters, they can go and do and come back and say, yes, I did it. I took care of all those problems. They're not there anymore. So that they don't create a lot of conflict by being what other people think is too bossy and too independent. You would put each person with their basic type to their advantage, and you would pay attention if you're putting two tribals together. If you're going to put a tribal with a strong individual, you'll create conflict right away unless they really know how to handle their strategy. Do I wait to respond? Do I have an invitation? Do I make sure I inform people before I do something? If they understood their strategy, they can work with anyone as long as much, much better than they ever have before. But to begin with, in something like a large trucking company, we would put generators with generators, manifesting generators together. Just very basic beginning. And that would cut down a lot of people quitting, getting angry, having arguments and real big disagreements while they're driving down the highway. Not good, right?
Right.
And
yeah,
fine-tune the details.
Wow.
And there are many possible uses for this system. That's why the people who have studied it are so in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would
amazing.
Work for people getting planning to be married, too, couldn't
the,
it?
Yes, we hinted at that earlier.
Yes,
yes we
did.
Mm-hmm. I came into the show late.
Okay, we're sorry. Yes, we hinted at that. Dr. Ann wanted to know if we could have a dating line, right, or something, so people could find their right type and try dating within type so they know what they're, so they understand each other. There's a clicking
where
right
were
away.
You 40 years ago when I needed you.
We hadn't worked it all out yet. Okay. We didn't have all these answers.
That's okay. Neither did we.
Right? You got that right. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in and asking. Do you have any other questions, or that's it?
Well, on the joy of wealth,
yes.
I guess this would be for you, Dr. Ann.
I guess, yes.
A lot of the men that I have worked with over the years are not only proud of their craft, and I've worked in the industrial side. I've worked with men who are everything from carpenters, pipe fitters, and they were craftsmen. And
yes.
They had classifications. They had to study very hard their craft, such as a welder. they had to know all kinds of different things about metallurgy before they could be an accredited welder. Mechanics, they had to know so much about how these complicated machines, every part fits together and what goes wrong. These people love their craft. And in order for them to become wealthier, a lot of them would either buy some kind of a little business on the side or something and have their wife run it and stuff. Are we talking about that, or is there some way that they could take the craft they love so much and apply that in a different way? I'm not even sure how to ask the question, but basically, I'm looking at people who have a steady income because of their craft's limitations in like weight scale.
Okay. I am not getting your question right now, but I could probably say this, is that people do well with if they do have a particular 9-to-5 and then they decide to take the skills that they already know and take it to another level, which is to develop their own business. If you have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, he talks about...
Actually.
Yeah, so if you can go back to that and reread the sections that he talks about being self-employed or owning your own business, and then the final quadrant is to be an investor. You take what you make, and then you make your money work for you. That is what we talk about. We're looking at wealth from the financial aspect. We want to gradually but surely, if you are entrepreneurial in mind, is to leave that first quadrant where you're working for somebody else, where you are doing all the work and somebody is benefiting from your sweat and tears. But there's always going to be those people who are going to, you know, there's always going to be a need for people to work for other people. There's no getting around that. However, if you are
Well, it wouldn't be considered, like I've heard a lot of political meanderings in thought about the greed of Americans, the need for greed, and they go out and they start a business so they're declared rich and to be obscene and to be hated by the general society.
Well, you know what? We are going to, that is going to be a long discussion about the greed in America versus non-greed. Remember, this program looks at wealthy from all aspects, from a holistic approach, and not necessarily from a monetary approach, even though we still, it is wonderful.
I'm the wealthiest man in the world because I love my job.
Yes. You are wealthy because you love your job. Not only that, you love yourself. Not only that, you are grateful for having the job. You're grateful to be alive speaking to myself and Coffee. There are so many aspects of wealth besides the money. And when you get into all the other aspects or the principles or the powers of wealthy living, then you see that the doors are opening, the windows are opening, the channels are opening even further, even more open, and the money does flow to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're
making me giggle, Dr. Ann. I hope you appreciate that. I was not giggling when I called.
Okay, so I'm happy. I'm happy. Well, it's all about joy, happiness, laughter, the whole nine yards. So I'm glad you are laughing, giggling over there, wherever you may be, Vancouver, Washington, or wherever you are. Okay. So
and it's raining. It's raining here. So eat your heart.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know what? I'm going to say thank you for calling.
Okay.
And I'm going to get back to Coffee so she can finish up our conversation because we only have a
few. Are you going to have her on again? I love listening to her.
We will have her on again probably in a few weeks.
Great.
We will have Coffee back on because we have just touched a tap of the knowledge that she has. And one thing that I want to talk to her before we end is something that she started to talk about last week, and that was relocation charts.
Yes, Dr. Ann.
What are those? Just for I know what they are, but our listening audience may, and we only have a few minutes to talk about this, so
all right,
go ahead.
We'll mm-hmm. be fast here. Relocation
yes.
charts. Let's say you're just living a wonderful life and you're just miserable. Well, you do it and you don't know why. And you're living in California, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all your friends are going, this is just perfect, this is just perfect. But I would do your relocation chart because you say I'm miserable
mm-hmm.
where I'm at. I have no explanation. So I'm going to read from a chart that I have in front of me to make this quick. So
okay.
the lady, where would this lady need to live? She's living in California. So
okay.
do what's called an astrocartography map. I chart where she needs to be
mm-hmm.
Or where she's interested in going on the world,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
She's very interested, okay, I want to live in the West Indies. So
okay.
I put all that up. And then I can look in detail to see where the planets were when she was born in relative to the position of the Earth, where they would appear. Like some would appear over, one would appear over France, for example.
Yes.
Jupiter might appear in the middle of the Pacific. So this person maybe wants to be a teacher in the Caribbean, and I would look and I would find Jupiter and Mercury, the mind and abundance,
mm-hmm.
and I would bring up a map of the Caribbean with the planetary lines going across it, and I would say, oh my gosh, you know, you do wonderfully well in the lesser islands, not the big ones. That
yes.
person would do wonderfully well there. She's got Jupiter and Mercury for teaching, trine. Everything is wonderful for that kind of thing. Now, that's fine. Then she says, oh, but I want to be famous in something, right? What would
uh-huh.
I be famous in? So I'd look around. I'd take the same chart. I'd change what I'm looking at a little, and I would do North America. So I set it all up. I'm saying now we looked for education and communication. Now she wants a real fame. She wants something fantastic, okay?
Yeah.
I'd put her in and push the magic button that brings up the chart. And
yes.
here we have, oh, this woman would find her fame in L.A., all right,
ooh.
It's that crystal clear in this band crossing L.A. This woman
really?
Would find fame, okay? So we have this, it's that easy. Now, you can
wow.
have many things at once, and we can find best areas for falling in love, best areas
yes.
for love to happen, building a happy home. But most people, strangely mm-hmm. enough, when I first do their charts, are living in an area that does nothing for them. Right? But those are also, we have to say, out of the population. People go, help, will you do my relocation chart? So it isn't the average person who's perfectly content in Scottsdale doesn't come for a relocation chart. Unless something's wrong, something isn't working in their life, then they come in and we look to say, where can this be better for you? And we find it. It's well-researched. It's a terrific system. I've traveled to places to test it myself to say, how does it work for me? It works perfectly.
Well, Coffee, you know, you have been a real charm today, giving this all this information to us. And ladies and gentlemen out there in audience, she's coming back in about 3 or 4 weeks. And you will hear more. She'll probably tell us about where to go find our love mate and everything.
Yes, we can do that.
So thank you, Coffee, so much for being here today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a part of our growing family here on our radio and coffee. Quickly, what's your email address?
ChartMyBliss, ChartMyBliss, at gmail.com.
Okay.
So thank you, Dr. Ann, for letting me be here. I've enjoyed the questions, and I've really enjoyed the entire wealth and joyous show.
Thank you for tuning into the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann Williamson. If you'd like to contact Dr. Ann, go to her website, www.myjoyenterprise.com, or email her at drann@myjoyenterprise.com. We'll see you back here next week.